Thank you, David, for the reading of God's Word this morning. Our title for this morning is Encouragements for the Journey into 2022. Encouragements for the Journey into 2022. Last Tuesday, take your mind back to that day, a fateful day for me. I had a oof moment, a bit of a punch in the stomach. I'll tell you what it was. The day before, we were getting all the kids ready for school, getting them psyched up, getting in the right frame of mind, tomorrow's school. Got all, everything ready on the Monday morning. That's how prepared we were. Kit bags, shoes polished. We were so ready, good to go. 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, Shannon leaves for the high school. Off she goes, no problems. 8:40, the younger two and Monica walk to St. Peter's School. I think, yes! I can actually do some work. I start work. 2 minutes later, Lacey runs back in. And she's jumping up and down with joy. 30 seconds after that, there's Jack. And he is beyond excited. It's better than Christmas Day for him. This is the best day of my life, he says. School is not on. It's teacher training day. And I missed the letter. Oh! So that was my day in the bin. What about you? Have you had a bit of a punch in the stomach recently? Like an oof moment? What about in this past year? I want you just to reflect on that for a moment. And when you reflect on that, do you see anywhere that there's been blessings? Or has it just been like a tsunami and it's taken out your year, taken out your week, your day, your hour? How do you get the balance? How do you take it forward? We're going to do a little exercise. There's just about enough time. 5 minutes. On your tables, you've got your sheet of paper, which is your homework. I know you're going to do it. You're enthusiastic for homework. On the back, flip it over. Then, one, as a team, I want you to do this. We're going to do an alphabet Thanksgiving. So, how that works is, if you don't know the alphabet, come and see somebody who knows. It starts with an A, I know that. So, you say, okay, team, A, where can we be thankful for that it starts with an A? It might be, I love alpacas. It could be apples. It could be, I've just read a book on the Aegean Sea. Whatever, but something you can be thankful for on your table, an A. Then you go to B. Now, this should not take you that long. B might be for birds. You like birds. I didn't say you liked Andrew Bird, but you like birds. And it goes on like that. I'm not giving you any more tips, but go through that, and that's the counter, that sense of, oof. Go for it. Okay, I'm going to wrap that now, please, if you may. But you can keep it open. You might be inspired. See if you can fill it in as we go in the next half an hour. There's a good one going down there, whatever it is. Okay, everybody. Big question is, who got something for X? X-rays. You got X-rays as well. Elizabeth. Xboxes. Something Lizzie does all the time. Any other X's? Xylophones. Very popular with the music group. The more serious side of it is to get that balance when things are not going well. What I do almost every morning is think of three things of the day before that I'm grateful for, and I write it down. And it helps me to keep a positive attitude. because I'm, oh yeah, I've been blessed. Because it's so easy, from the pace of the day, you forget the good things that might have happened, even as you're going along through a day. It can help you with your mental thinking. In our reading today, Mary and Joseph have just had a visit from three wise men, magi or kings, depends on your translation. Jesus, by this time, is about 2 years old. He's a toddler. They're living in a house in Bethlehem, and they get this surprise visit from people from an unfamiliar culture, dress, and way of being. And they present to God gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worship Jesus. It's a wonderful scene, a picture for us that God is for the outsider. Soon after that, Joseph has a dream. It's a dream, a bit of a punch in his stomach. Oof. It's Angel Gabriel. Now, in the chapter 1, Joseph had this encounter with Angel Gabriel. And so this is not news to him. He's been there before. At that time, the Angel Gabriel said to him, "You can take Mary as your wife, even though she's pregnant. Even though this is against your culture, against what your logic is saying, you're going to get a lot of criticism, a lot of embarrassment. God's got this. You can go ahead with the marriage to Mary." And Joseph was wise enough and brave enough to say, "I'm going to go God's way rather than the way of my culture, the way of my sensibilities, what my family would expect. I'm going to do it." So here's Angel Gabriel again. And she says, or he says, Gabriel says to Joseph, "Joseph, get ready. You've got to get out of here. And you've got to do it now. Your life and Jesus' life are in great danger. Herod wants you dead." Herod would have had great respect for these magi that have already been to visit him. They were well known in Middle East, political people, understanding philosophy, understanding the stars and mysteries. And so Herod, who was very keen on understanding the signs of the times, gets these magi turning up. He's really alert to it. And he knows his throne is in danger. So he wants Jesus dead. When Joseph wakes up, he shakes at Mary. "Mary, I've got bad news for you. We've got to get out of here, and we've got to get out now. We've got to go to Egypt in the dead of night." When Monica and I lived in Angola, many years ago now, and it was a war zone, we used to have what we were called, each one of us had them, run bags. So if there's a potential of an attack, fighting breaking out, you grab your run bag, which would be a small bag, but it had your vital stuff in it, so that you could escape. Now, I oversaw a big project there, and so I had particular protocols already worked out. So if we're going to go into attack, I would open the safe, grab the money, grab certain files, and then we had a route to get out of that country. We worked it out in peacetime, and it's quiet. We knew what to do. Much easier having protocols for those sort of emergencies, but they didn't have that protocol. Mary and Joseph just had to go. What would you grab if you had to leave the country straight away from your house? Elizabeth would have grabbed her Xbox. How about you? You're on the run. They're Egypt bound and they've never been there. They don't speak the language. They don't know how to cook the food. They don't use the currency. They don't understand the alien culture. They're refugees. I've shown you this picture here. And this is a massive painting in Bournemouth, in an art gallery in Bournemouth. I used to go and see it every year. When I was at ministers' conference, I used to go to the art gallery. Don't tell anybody. And this would be as big. So where the cross is, maybe up to there, and all the way across there. Just massive, the whole wall. Oil painting. And although some of it is not very accurate at all, that sense of being in an alien place, you wouldn't think of Jesus being in land that's seen the pyramids, for example. Maybe as a youngster growing up, he could speak Egyptian. Could well have been. Strange, isn't it? What are they going to do? What were their signs of hope when they did the alphabet Thanksgiving in that situation? Let me suggest three. First one. They've got finance, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive. A lot of currency to get you going in a new land. They've got history, God's provision. In the most turbulent of times, in the most difficult of times, they found out in these last couple of years how that God would provide. It was not in the way they'd expected. It might not have been the way they wanted. But the provision was there, got them through. And then there's a promise. Mary had made a promise to Angel Gabriel. Joseph had made a promise to Angel Gabriel. They made a promise, we're going to stick with God. We're going to trust him. They had confidence. God is good. God can be trusted. God will provide. God's got this. Lots of ups and downs, bumpiness along the way. But God's got this. Today, this morning, we have the opportunity to make covenant promises, a firm commitment to journey with Jesus into the year ahead, 2022. We have provision. We have resources. We have fellowship. Most importantly, we have the Holy Spirit, God with us, God in us, God leading and guiding us. We have history, God's provision for the bumpy journey of the past years. God's provision over the decades, God's provision over church history. We don't live in that history, we learn from it and apply it into whatever the future looks like. So we can have confidence in God. It's a confidence in the nature and character of who he is, what he has done, what he is doing. And then this gives us the confidence to renew our covenant with him. Even in unsettling, bumpy, pandemic times. Like this young couple of Mary and Joseph, we're encouraged to develop. God was helping them to develop and adapt and pivot and move forward again. It's in the journey, you see, that we learn. We learn to trust God, to take the risks, learn new skills. We are going to be doing an Alpha course on Monday, starts on Monday, to help people engage with the truth or not truths of Jesus. To help them to start that journey of faith. Or to move along further in it. And by the way, it's still open if anybody here wants to do that. What fascinates me though, and what really challenges me, is that these young experienced couple, despite being in a traumatic situation, fleeing for their lives, with a death warrant on their child, refugees in an unknown world, strange and exotic location, are still exactly in the will of God. I still remember one time that I went on a cruise liner. And every evening, when we got back from our meal to the cabin, there'd be a sweet, a chocolate on the pillow. I don't know why they do that, but they do. And sometimes we can have an expectation of life, of living the Jesus way, which is like being on a cruise line. You just float along, and the meals are provided, and it's all very beautiful. And then when you go to bed, you have a chocolate for you. Then you have to get out of bed again because you have to clean your teeth. But anyway, and it's like that. But the reality is, that's not how it is. It shatters my comfortable Western Christianity worldview that influences me and maybe influences you, where life is supposedly about being in control, being nice and safe, with plenty of provision, and comfortable, and risk-free, and that terrible word, nice. It's not a terrible word, but it's terrible to me. My kids use it all the time. It's nice. Oh. And woe betide anybody unsettling that niceness, particularly God. So we put God in a box, and we allow a bit of God time on a Sunday or in a quiet space online, and then that's it. And we do it for an hour a week, and then, well, we've done our God bit. But actually, it's 24/7 in the bumpy and the ups and downs of the worrying, of the scary, of the Thanksgiving, where we are to live and dwell and be and move forward with Him. You'll notice in these chapters, there are a number of points where it says this is fulfilling prophecy. Just to give you a couple of examples, chapter 2, verse 6, the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. It's a prophecy. Out of Egypt I'll call my son. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And there's three others as well. This is actually fulfilling prophecy. This is actually in God's plan, allowing this to happen. And so this young couple had to orientate to a completely new landscape. And there's echoes of a challenge for us today in these COVID-infected environments that we live in, where we have to adapt to a new landscape, a new era, new learning, new ways of being for families, for churches, for communities, for businesses, for shops, for medical practice, hospitals, schools, and on it goes. And it can be really unsettling. But we can have full confidence in the character of God. Jesus knows our discomfort. He's experienced it far more than us. He has compassion and concern and love for each one of us. He has not forgotten about us. He's got a plan for us. The Spirit is at work. But we do have to adapt like Mary and Joseph. We do have to change. We do have to try out new things. We do have to experiment. And the covenant words today are an invitation to say, my confidence is not in my situation. My confidence is in God. He is the promise-keeping God, the promise-proving God, our Savior, our Lord. A final reflection. And before I do that, can I just ask the person that's going to inform the youngsters to go and bring them in, please? Thank you. Eventually, last slide, please. Eventually, Herod the Great dies. And his sons take over. But his sons are worse, if that was possible, than him. But in verse 20 of our reading, there's a third visitation of the angel Gabriel to Joseph. And the angel says, this time, move, go back to Israel. But they don't go yay, this is great, this is fine, all the problems are over. They go there very cautiously because they're still in danger. They're still not sure. And so they return to Nazareth. And they start off their life again. Yet again. The thing is, though, they're not starting from scratch. They're starting from experience. They're following the experience of following the promise-keeping God. And our journey of faith continues into 2022. We're not starting from scratch. We're starting from experience. And as our church mission statement declares, we're connecting people with Jesus for life, for hope, for more. Pivoting, adapting, adjusting to the bumps that come along the way. Trusting in God's provision, character, and covenant promise. Because God's got this. We are the church for the present age. Learning from the past, but not living in the past. Trusting God for the present. Learning the new songs for these times, for a new future, in the new landscape. But we're not starting from scratch. We're starting from experience. We're with the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing. God's got this. So be encouraged. No peace, no hope in the bumps to come. God's with us, and he's never letting us go. May we rejoice in his promises today. Amen.